We're going to be studying the book of Philippians over the next about 17 weeks, just to kind of give you the heads up. And the title of the series is An Undefeated Joy. And I'll tell you why in a second, but I want to just point to and highlight and plug this notebook that we're actually selling for $5. That's less than we spent to make it, but we just want to make it available to you. Every week when you come to Fellowship Raleigh, you'll get an insert to take notes on in your bulletin, and that insert already has holes punched in it, and it will fit perfectly in to this notebook. So at the end of the 17 weeks after we've studied Philippians, after we've talked about an undefeated joy, you'll just have this study of the book of Philippians kind of to always refer back to. And there's also a few pages in here kind of telling you a little bit about the book of Philippians. So please check that out there at the back table. Love for you to get one. So football season is beginning. And I think you guys are pretty much aware of that. And, you know, let me just tell you, I'm just going to tell you right now what's going to happen in the NFL this year. Okay? What's going to happen is the season's going to start and it's going to go, and about week 6 or 7, there's going to be one, maybe two teams that haven't lost yet, okay? And right when that happens, let me tell you what the next thing that's going to happen is. All the TV announcers are going to start talking about who? Anybody know? The 1972 Miami Dolphins. Do you know why? Because they're the only team in NFL history ever to complete an entire NFL season without losing one single game and then go on and win the Super Bowl. And so about game 6 or 7 of this season, as we have a couple of undefeated teams, people will start to talk, can this team do it? Can this team do it? Can they become the next undefeated NFL football team? And you guys might know that last year it almost happened until the Super Bowl. The Patriots were undefeated and then they lost. So, but how much do you guys know about the 1972 Dolphins? We got anybody in here that was alive in 1972? Anybody? Thank you. All right. Yeah, so I'm sure you're watching the game, Don. 1971, the Dolphins actually went to the Super Bowl that year as well and lost embarrassingly bad to the Dallas Cowboys. And so no one really knew what was going to happen in this 1972 season. They didn't really know how this young Miami Dolphins team would respond. They had a young coach. His name was Don Shula. And they were just not sure how they would respond. And so they went through the season undefeated, went into the Super Bowl, and they were not favored to win the Super Bowl. And the thing that you need to know is that having an undefeated season is extremely difficult. And here's why. Because football is not just about scoring points. I think you guys know that. There's a whole lot of other challenges that come. And those of you who have played sports or coached sports will know what I'm talking about. The Miami Dolphins faced many challenges from many different directions. You have the challenge of internal conflict in the locker room. You have the challenge of off-field distractions. You have the challenge of media scrutiny. You have the challenge of discouraging naysayers. You have the challenge of injuries. You have the challenge of teams that have no wins or have one win the whole season, and they're just like rabid teams that have nothing to lose, and so they're just going to try to knock you off. You have all these challenges coming from all these different directions, and yet the Miami Dolphins were able to be an undefeated football team. So they went into the 1972 football, and by the way, quarterback Bob Greasy was injured in the 5th game of the 1972 season. And he didn't come back and play until the Super Bowl. And they were still undefeated. I did not say Brian Greasy. That's the Chicago Bears, and we don't want to talk about that. Bob Greasy, the dad. And so, 1972 season, they win the Super Bowl. They're not favored to win. They win. They beat the Washington Redskins. They get to hold up the trophy. They complete the perfect season, the undefeated season. Why am I telling you this story? Because if you read the book of Philippians, which I hope you will throughout the course of this series, it's just 4 chapters, 104 verses. If you read the book of Philippians, you're going to see, man, this guy Paul just has this joy that's like undefeated. Paul's joy is come against, it's attacked, it's challenged in several different ways and different angles. You have circumstances, the guy's in prison, you have people slandering his name, people trying to kill him. You have all kinds of reasons for Paul's joy to completely go out the window, and yet it doesn't. It's undefeated. It's an undefeated joy. And the amazing thing is, you guys know, okay, Matt, Paul, he's a very special guy. So you can't expect us to be like Paul. But the fact is, as you read Philippians, you realize this, the secret to Paul's undefeated joy is not that he's a special guy. The secret is actually the source of his joy. And it's Jesus Christ. And the secret is actually the biblical strategies with which he maintains his joy. And they're right here in the book of Philippians. And so God wants us to have this joy too. An undefeated joy. Difficult? Yes. Possible? Yes as well. And so an undefeated joy, that's our goal. And so what I want to do right now is I want to introduce the book of Philippians with these things that you'll see it at the top of your outline, the three T's. And the first thing I want to give you is kind of the target for our series. And I just sort of gave it to you. I think the title kind of gives it away. But the target is that everybody here, everybody who's a part of Fellowship Raleigh, would taste, would feel, would understand what it's like, and would begin to have an undefeated joy. That's the goal. And I'll tell you why that's the goal. Because you need to know that this is the right goal. And pastorally, it's the goal. What I mean by that is from a ministry standpoint, that's the goal. Philippians 1, verse 25, Paul says, I can't decide whether I want to get this death sentence from Caesar, because he's in prison, and go to heaven and be with Christ, or whether I want to stay. And then he says this, but I think I'm going to remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith. Paul's like, this is my ministry, helping you have joy. And so it's our ministry. We want to help each other have joy. It's the right goal. There's nothing wrong with the goal. It's not a selfish goal. Spiritually, it's our goal. Galatians 5:22 says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Evangelistically, it's our goal. Let me explain that. You will not be commending to anyone what you are not enjoying in your life. And so as we begin to enjoy Christ more, evangelism begins to take place. Theologically, it's our goal. You're not praising, you're not glorifying the things you're not enjoying, are you? And so we need to get back to joy. We need to have an undefeated joy. Theologically, it's our goal. And you may be saying, man, it's impossible to have an undefeated joy. To which James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for they produce steadfastness. And so even in hard times, there's a deep sense of joy that Christians can have, an undefeated joy. That's our goal. That's what we're going after. That's our target. The second thing, terminology. Okay, so I'm going to be throwing this word joy around a lot. Let's define it. The word joy, it comes up 16 times in 4 chapters in the book of Philippians. It's clearly the theme running through the entire book. The word joy just simply means a feeling of inner happiness, gladness, or delight. Okay? That's it. But in the context of Philippians, where we see this word joy come up, we're able to, I think, come up with a slightly better and more thorough definition. I want to give you the definition of joy in Philippians. And that's going to be the definition that we go with, okay? Because every time you see the word joy in Philippians, it's only used in one of three ways. I challenge you, read the book of Philippians and look for this. One of three ways. It either refers to a person's joy in God, in Jesus Christ, actually just directly my joy in Jesus Christ. Or, number two, it refers to a person's joy in the purposes of God, in the progress of the gospel, in God's purposes going forward. Or number three, it refers to a person's joy in the people of God, in their family, in their Christian brother or sister. Those are the three things. So our definition for joy, here it is. A supernatural feeling of delight in the person, purposes, and people of God. That's kind of what we're rolling with. That's our operational definition for the next 17 weeks as we study this concept of the undefeated joy in the book of Philippians. A supernatural feeling of delight in the person, purposes, and people of God. Next, let's talk about the text. I just want to get this introduction out of the way and get to these first two verses in Philippians that we're studying this morning. The text. Just a few introductory facts. I already mentioned this. There's 4 chapters, 104 verses. The author is the Apostle Paul. He wrote it with Timothy. We'll see that in the first verse. The date it was written, 60 to 62 A.D. It was written about 10 years after Paul, which we read earlier aloud, started the church in Philippi. So it's about 10 years Paul writes in the letter in 62 A.D. It's one of Paul's 13 New Testament letters. There's 27 New Testament books, 13 of them written by Paul. And this is one of those. And there's 4 that Paul writes from prison. And this is one of those as well. Okay? Interesting facts about the city of Philippi. This is going to really come alive for you guys in our message this morning. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about Philippi. You guys probably haven't been there. I know you haven't, in fact, because it doesn't exist anymore. It is near the head of the Aegean Sea. I was actually curious what the weather was like. It was 75 degrees there yesterday. It's about 8 miles northwest of the city of Kavala, Greece. Right now, it's just remained there, the city of Philippi. It's no longer in existence, but that's where it was. It was founded in 356 B.C. by Philip II, father to Alexander the Great. So you can kind of hear in Philip's name, he was kind of big into naming things after himself. So, Philippi. And then there was no synagogue. You guys, we read that scripture earlier. Paul is kind of gets to Philippi and he's like, I want to go, you know, have a church service. Where does he have to go? To the synagogue? No, there wasn't a synagogue. So he had to go to the river where the women were praying without the men, because in Philippi, there has to be 10 men to have a synagogue. So clearly there weren't 10 men in the city of Philippi who were spiritual enough to have a synagogue. And so the women were praying by themselves by the river. Paul went out there and shared the gospel with them. So what else? It's a Roman military colony. This is really important. It's kind of like the city of Philippi was called the miniature Rome. It was where all the veterans lived. There was a huge battle that took place really near Philippi. And so after the battle, they're kind of like, let's live here. And so it became this veteran city. And so everyone in the city of Philippi was real connected in their heart to the city of Rome. As a matter of fact, there was this really interesting thing called the Italic Rite. And what that means is that everyone in the city of Philippi was, by their right, the Italic Rite, an actual citizen of Rome and could vote in the elections in Rome. And it was kind of like absentee status. I remember when I lived in Chicago, but I was from Florida and I was an absentee voter in Florida and all that stuff went down with the elections and the Chad and all that. I was kind of like, yeah, I'm special. I'm in Chicago, but I'm an absentee voter in Florida. I'm really making a difference over there. And so that's the same type of thing. The people that lived in Philippi, they were veterans of the military. They were, by the Italic Rite, citizens of Rome. They were really into Rome. Philippi was called the miniature Rome. So one more thing to know is that the emperor cult was huge in Philippi because everyone was all about the emperor. Everyone was all about Rome. And so you would hear this saying a lot in the city of Philippi. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. And so that'll be significant later in the book of Philippians. And so let me just give you one last thing about the text, and then we're going to jump into the message this morning. So we read earlier, Paul comes on his second missionary journey, and he plants the church. He goes to the river, he shares the gospel. A church begins in the city of Philippi. Paul then leaves, and he goes other places and does other missions work, and but the Philippians remain in their relationship with Paul. They continue to pray for him. They continue to support him. And so kind of fast forward about 10 years, Paul goes to prison. He gets put in prison. And he gets put in the prison in Rome. And he's awaiting a trial before Caesar and pending a death sentence. And so the Philippians, about 1,000 miles away, about the distance from Orlando to Chicago, say, man, we want to help our founding pastor out. We've supported him throughout his missions work. We want to help him out now. And so they say, let's take an offering. Let's gather some gifts that we want to give to him. And so they do that. And so then they say, well, who can take this to Paul in Rome? And Epaphroditus, who will come up in chapter 3, says, I guess I'll do it. I'll walk 1,000 miles. So Epaphroditus is like, here, give it to me. So he takes it to Rome and gives Paul this gift. And of course, like you would imagine, this would obviously happen. Paul's like, hey, Epaphroditus, thanks for the gift. How are things going in Philippi? Like, I started that church. I'm just curious, how's it going? Epaphroditus is like, well, let me tell you, there's some good things, there's some bad things, here's what's going on. So Paul says, you know what, don't leave yet, Epaphroditus, I want to write a letter and I want you to bring it back with you. So he writes this letter, these four chapters, these 104 verses, the book of Philippians. He says, here you go, Epaphroditus, take this back. Epaphroditus takes it, walks 1,000 miles, or Chicago, back to Orlando, gets to the city of Philippi, and he's like, guys, mission accomplished, gift delivered, Paul's doing pretty good. Actually, he wanted to tell you himself how he's doing. I've got this letter. It's four chapters. Would you like me to read it to you? They say, sure. They say, get everybody else. They call everybody together. They all sit down. Epaphroditus says, do you want me to read it? They say, sure. Epaphroditus reads it aloud to the little church at Philippi. And he started with verse 1.